OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, March 26th. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up on today's show, there could be a new cyber attack aimed at generative artificial intelligence. We'll hear about the new ways hackers could steal data and what you can do to protect yourself from WSJ contributor Jackie Snow. And then, just a few years ago, electric vehicle startups like Rivian and Lucid were Wall Street darlings. But now, as demand for EVs has slowed, a number of these companies are at risk. We'll check in on some of the EV industry's once high-flying startups and see what it will take to turn business around. From WSJ reporter Sean McClain. But first, from creating images to travel itineraries and even just enhancing our productivity overall, generative AI holds a lot of promise for what it can bring to our lives. But with that promise comes risk. Some researchers have begun raising concerns about a new kind of cyber attack called data poisoning. WSJ contributor Jackie Snow joins me now with more. Jackie, what is data poisoning?
Data poisoning is when someone inserts either incorrect or misleading information into the data used to train an AI model to make it do something the creator did not intend. And whether that's something that ends up being bad or something that protects the person who did the data poisoning, those are both two options that we can see happening with data poisoning.
You reported that some researchers are raising concerns. So put this into context for us. How big of a threat is data poisoning?
This is a threat, but it is a known unknown. We're not exactly sure when or how it's going to happen because there's a lot of lower fruit right now to be had with generative AI. So it's not a reason to disregard it, but it is something that we probably have some time to figure out.
Is there something that makes generative AI particularly vulnerable to data poisoning?
Yeah, generative AI needs a lot of data, internet size amounts of data. So that just creates a lot of opportunities to go in there and start to change the data in a way.
What have companies like OpenAI said that they're doing about this problem?
They're being a little secretive about what they're doing. That makes sense, because if they say exactly what they're doing, that just shows a cyber criminal, here's where the guards are at, let me get around them. And they are things that they can do, like spot check the data, look it over. Once you create the model, going in there and just seeing what sort of outputs come out, those are always that they can test it. But there's going to be additional layers of training that can really go in there and make sure that it is performing the way that they intend. The more technical stuff that they're doing, those are things that they're not sharing to try to protect these models for as long as possible.
So how do individual users protect themselves from data poisoning?
A good start is, one, do not trust what comes out of a generative AI model instinctually, double checking it elsewhere. It's also still a good idea not to put any sensitive data into these generative AI tools online. There are some that you can download onto your own machine and run more securely. But if you have your tax files and you want to get some insight into them, generative AI is maybe not the best place to do that right now. The real risks from the researchers I talked to will be when companies start to use enterprise versions of these tools and start to connect them to internal data sets.
How could legislation in the US or EU address this?
The AI Act just passed, and in that legislation, they did mention data poisoning and how it needs to be addressed. This is still very early days. It'll be interesting to see how they can do that in such a way. It really might come down to companies having to put the time and effort into looking at much greater percentage of their data, which is something that's going to be tedious and costly, but it might be cheaper than dealing with the consequences of a major data poisoning event.
That was WSJ contributor Jackie Snow. Coming up, EV startups are vying to become the next Tesla. Which companies have what it takes to stay in the EV race? That's after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. oracle.com/wallstreet.
Back in 2018 and 2019, it looked like the electric vehicle boom had finally arrived. Sales of Tesla's Model 3 sedan were taking off, and a number of other startups wanted to get in on the action. Buzzy companies like Rivian and Lucid raked in investor funds and even went public at high valuations. They seemed poised to take on automotive giants like Ford and General Motors. Now, more than 5 years later, the financial picture for these companies looks a lot different. Here's WSJ reporter Sean McClain with more on EV startups and their prospects. Sean, which companies are we talking about here?
Well, it's companies like Rivian, Lucid, Fisker, a couple that have now gone bankrupt, like Lordstown, Nikola, and Polestar, and even a new company like VinFast. They're all capitalizing on this investor gold rush to find the next Tesla.
And overall, how are they doing now?
All of them still haven't figured out how to make money at this business except for Tesla. Almost all of them have seen their stock price plummet quite sharply. And most of them are calling for slower growth this year as EV sales. Growth looks to plateau this year.
What are some of the challenges that these companies have in common?
None of these startups have figured out mass market manufacturing, high volume manufacturing, and profitability. And so the problem is these companies went public the last couple of years and have been surviving on investor funds or loans or cash injections from outside investors. That money is running down the more vehicles they sell and as they lose money. And the question is, with EV sales growth looking to slow this year, it's entirely possible that some of these companies could run out of money.
These startups started coming out with these cars around the time when Tesla was really blowing up. Why has it been difficult for these companies to replicate that success that Tesla had?
The trite answer that everybody gives is making cars is hard. That's partly turned out to be true, but the wrinkle in it is all of them tried to do almost the same thing, which is to come out with a luxury vehicle, right? As you're learning to sell and make cars, what makes sense is to try to make as much money as possible with the fewest number of vehicles. And the answer to that is always a luxury vehicle. Problem is, everybody did the same thing. And so we're running into an issue where there's a lot of choice. If you're going to want to spend $60,000 to $70,000, $80,000 to $100,000 on an EV, there's not a whole lot of choice below that mark. And so now what all of these EV companies are trying to do is stop the bleeding and shore up their business enough to get to their next generation of vehicles that will be cheaper and have a more mass market appeal. And the question is, do they have the runway to do that?
Let's run through how some of these startups are doing individually. Let's start with Rivian. What is going on there?
Well, Rivian was the first to market with an electric pickup truck. And to remind everybody that doesn't know, the pickup truck is the best-selling vehicle type in the U.S. So on the face of it, should have been a gangbuster hit. But Rivian ran into trouble, one, ramping up production at their facility in Normal, Illinois. They ran into production snags, logistics snags, and a whole bunch of supply chain issues, which, you know, caused them to lose money on all the vehicles that they sold. And so the plan at Rivian is to overhaul their production line and in 2026 introduce a cheaper vehicle in order to turn gross losses into a gross profit, which will hopefully help them preserve their cash and give them a longer runway to profitability.
And how about Lucid?
Lucid currently sells a single vehicle. It's the Lucid Air, which the company will say starts at $70,000, but it goes all the way up to $250,000. The Lucid Air is a four-door large sedan, which is not a particularly popular vehicle type in the U.S. these days. So what Lucid says it's doing, it's planning to this year release a large SUV, which Lucid says will triple the number of people that would be willing to consider buying it. So that's what Lucid's problem is they really need to expand their sales. They've sold, you know, a little over 10,000 of them in the past couple of years, and their factory in Arizona can produce 30,000 vehicles a year. So they really need to sort of boost that volume in order to start turning a profit.
Looking at Fisker, yesterday, the company said deal talks with an unnamed large automaker have ended. Fisker was negotiating for a potential investment or joint manufacturing agreement. Also yesterday, the New York Stock Exchange moved to delist Fisker shares, citing, quote, abnormally low price levels. Trading of the company's shares were suspended after a sharp fall following Fisker's disclosure about the terminated negotiations. In addition to this latest news, what are some of Fisker's challenges?
Among the group of EV startups here, Fisker is probably the one with the biggest question marks. My reporting showed that Fisker is considering a bankruptcy filing. Fisker's problem, besides the number of software issues and bad reviews that they've been getting from people, is they ship their vehicles from a factory in Austria to the US. And so there's two problems with that. One, you have to ship them by sea, which long delays. Two, they don't get any of their vehicles to qualify for the EV tax credit, which means they're at an automatic disadvantage, both in terms of logistics and pricing.
What might it take to turn things around for these companies?
A surge in EV demand in the US would help. A bigger pie would make it easier for these companies to break in. At the end of the day, though, given that EV demand isn't surging and that prices are still relatively high compared to gas vehicles, what these companies really need to do is conserve the cash they have.
That was our reporter, Sean McLean. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Alex Osola for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.